FPL is back and there's flags everywhere. We look at how to solve a problem like Gabriel or Semenyo or anyone else for that matter. And will Jules actually play his free hit? Welcome back to this week's FPL pod. You'll have noticed by now that this isn't Kelly Summers. This is Ian Irving. After moaning last week that she never gets a holiday, she's away, so she's missing this podcast. She's tried her very best, I'm told, to get all the equipment together and make it work, but she's not been able to. So she's flagged this week, like the rest of FPL. But it's good to be back, isn't it? The distraction of the international break is over and full steam ahead to Christmas, the new year and everything else. It is wall-to-wall FPL, just the way we like it. Sam and Jules, how are we doing? Good to be back.
Hello, mate. It's good to have you back on. How have you been doing? Did you not come before because your season was so good that you didn't want to brag too much about it?
Yeah, something like that. 3.8 million is nothing to brag about, is it, Sam?
I don't know. I've
not
been there yet.
Oh, you still beat Sam, though. Yeah, she doesn't know what that means.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's not been great, but people who've listened to this podcast for a while will know that when I've been a guest in the past, bad starts are nothing new. So actually, it just feels like normal, to be honest.
You're like Manchester United, right, Ian?
Bad starts, but improving. Yeah. So that's good. Above Tottenham Hotspur again, so that's good too. But yeah, 3.8 million. Basically, coming on the pod has made me look back at my season so far, which you asked me to do, and it's just made me feel worse about things. So I've just listed down some of the key errors that I've made. So Antoine Semenyo, didn't get him till game week 8. Obviously, since game week 8, 1 assist. Before that, 4 goals, 2 assists, 66 points. I've picked up 9 points with Semenyo so far, so that feels like an error. Taking Mickey van der Ven out a week before his 23-point haul at Everton feels like a mistake, especially when I realised yesterday that it was El Hadji Malik Diouf that I brought in for him, who's got, I think, about less than 23 points in the entire season. Gabriel in, Rice out as well, which I did a couple of weeks back, which looks like I might be completely reversing. picking Cunha over Mbeumo as well in game week 3. So yeah, just wherever I look, really, there's sort of 50-50 calls that I made wrong, but I guess I won't be the only person lamenting that, because it's been that sort of season where little things, one error, one mistake, one decision has left you in a mess, Sam.
Yeah. Why have you thrown that to me?
I don't know.
But I do agree. Like, I think it's those 50-50s as well, isn't it, across teams. It's like, you know, we spoke a couple of weeks ago about how most of us started without Arsenal because the fixtures looked difficult, and then that's just punished us for ages until we brought them all in. If you went with the wrong Arsenal players at that point, again, that's put you in a difficult spot. You know, there will be a lot of players out there that went Jokeres only to see him not really do anything and then get injured and be out for a bit. People that have gone for different Arsenal defenders over Gabriel. And then despite the fact that like they're getting 6 points every week, you feel like you're being punished because Gabriel is or has been smashing it and picking up those additional points. So it's been the 50-50 calls that have been really difficult this year. Plus the game feels different because of the types of players. And we spoke about DEFCON a couple of months ago. Like the whole game feels like a new learning this year. Like you have to kind of settle into understanding what it is. And it does feel like you quite easily get punished for making those 50-50s wrong. Whereas normally you'd kind of go, oh, I got away with that a little bit. Whereas this year it's like you make a mistake and it does feel like you lose about a million places every time.
Are you smiling at this point, Jules? Or?
I mean, from my top 600K in the world, I'm looking down a little bit to try to find you. I can't really find you there. but everything you said is so right. It's just I'm glad I've made those right calls for the 50-50s, mostly so far this season.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about the international break then. Move it on swiftly. Let's have a look at how players have done, the impact that the international games will have on FPL, because like I said at the top, Jules, there is just flags everywhere. I mean, what's your roundup? This is your special thing that you now do, which I've enjoyed listening to, so now I can tee you up for it.
So we'll talk about injuries a little bit after, but there's a lot of Premier League players who did really well in this international break. Once more, obviously, Jean-Philippe Mateta scored again for France, so second goals in two starts, which is pretty good. Ekitike scored too, so if you're thinking about Ekitike, Liverpool, he's been on great form for the French. With England, Arsenal players have done really well because Saka scored, Rice played both games, Eze scored in the first game, started the second game. Cunha started both games for Brazil in that very exciting front four, I guess, for Carlo Ancelotti. Estevao was probably the start of the two games for Brazil, the Chelsea winger with a goal in each of the game against Tunisia and against Senegal. Zubimendi scored for Spain, where we saw a lot of Premier League players. Cucurella features in both games. Pedro Porro played. Marino played. There was a hat-trick for Bruno Fernandes with Portugal. So again, if you look at the United fixtures, they look pretty good going forward. Bruno might be back on your radar, certainly in great form. Bernardo Silva and Ruben Dias also played the two Portugal games. Nick Voltemade can't score in the Premier League, but he can score with Germany. I can guarantee you that 3 goals in 2 games for him, and they also qualify for the World Cup. 2 assists for Florian Wirtz, so maybe his form is coming back a little bit. McAllister played the first game, and there was only 1 game for Argentina. Played 85 minutes, even played with his younger brother, so he was very happy with that. Romero played the whole game against Angola. Jeremy Doku was excellent with Belgium. Mo Salah played against Uzbekistan with Egypt, but didn't score. Marmoush scored when he played the second game for Egypt, the City striker. And then there was a lot of Dutch players who scored for the national team, Premier League players. Gakpo, Malen, Simmons, Reinders all scored against Lithuania, for example. And Bomo, bad international week for them because he was knocked out of the World Cup qualifiers with Cameroon. And finally, Erling Haaland. I kept the last one for best. Obviously on fire again with Norway and qualifying for the World Cup, like Harry Wilson, who's got a hat-trick for Wales and qualified them for the playoffs.
A lot to ponder there, Sam, isn't there?
Yeah, there was a lot going on over this international break, wasn't there? We should give a little shout out to Scotland as well for that incredible performance that they had. I think it was a big international break. And as a result of having a big international break, we have then seen a number of consequences in FPL, not just in terms of the travel. So we normally sit here after an international break and go, well, be careful because there's a lot of minutes been played and there's a lot of travel to happen and people have been long distances and then they've then got to get back from being long distances and all of that jazz. But this time it just feels even more impactful on FPL. I opened my team and looked at it and it was like, I don't know, it was like a patchwork quilt of just problems across my team. And I don't think I'll be alone with people when they open their apps and look through the website this week. I think there'll be a lot of players thinking, what on earth do I do with all these flags?
Yeah. How many flags have you got, Sam?
4. So wow. That was quite problematic. One of them or two of them weren't caused over the international break. So I've still got Mo Kudus in my team. He was already flagged, having missed the games before the international break. As you may have heard, I brought in Gehi just ahead of his not being able to walk and being on crutches comments from Glasner. So that was fun. So he is...
I had heard. Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
so that was problematic. I could have just gone for any other Palace defender and it would have been okay, but I got him as well. And then obviously over the international break, then I've had the additional flags added for both Gabriel and Semenyo. So it's been difficult. Oh, and I had Nick Pope. And he was part of the concussion protocol, although we are expecting him to be okay. So I suppose in theory, I've actually got 4.5 flags in my team, if you count Pope as well.
Jules, are you the same?
Yeah, exactly the same. Yeah, same.
What do we do then?
I mean, for me, this game week screams literally free hits because I think I'm not sure how much I want to tinker. I think there's really good fixtures to target if you want to play your free hit. If you can still play your free hit like me, I think it might be a way out of this flag situation. And who do I take out? Who do I bench? Who do I keep? All of that. Even if you've got free transfers, to be fair, because then if you fancy the fixtures like I do, because you could look at, you know, Palace at Wolves, Chelsea at Burnley, you can easily go with 2 players each of those teams, really, maybe even 3. Liverpool against Forest at home, you can even go for Mo Salah if you don't have him, for Ekitike if you want, for Wirtz if you believe that he can turn around his form, all that kind of things that you can't really do otherwise. So I feel that free hit could be a really good time to be played.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. And also, I think it's too much headache, all those flags and waiting. And there will be so much pressure because we won't know, let's be honest. Those managers very often don't give you the whole picture anyway. So it's only a yellow flag. So you think, oh yeah, they might play. If they don't, I don't want the hassle. So free hit, for me, I think is the best solution.
It fills me with dread, Sam, the idea of playing free hit this week, just because there is so much uncertainty. So you imagine you free hit out some of these players who are yellow flagged, and then they do end up playing and they do end up doing well. And people like Semenyo, who's very well owned, then punish you for that decision with a good fixture. Exactly. So What do you think? Would you consider free hit this week? I mean, if you fancy it, go for it. Jules is clearly doing it.
I mean, I think, to be honest though, Ian, like over the next few weeks, whatever you do with the free hit, because there's no double game weeks or blank game weeks to target before this free hit expires, we are going to have to take out players who might potentially do well and swap them in for other assets. So I think that that situation arises whether you play it this week, next week, or three or four game weeks down the line. I think the slight issue for me, and we saw this after the last international break, is that we do see rotation across the starting 11s of these teams. So that's always slightly problematic. Like Chelsea have the early fixture. A lot of their players have been quite a distance on international duty. So whilst I agree with Jules about tripling up, they've also got a lot of flags on players in their team. So again, there's that slight uncertainty about, you know, is João Pedro going to come back off international duty and start, or is he going to start Liam Delap instead? Where are we with Pedro Neto? I think he's probably okay, but he's flagged. So do we need to be considerate there? Enzo Fernandez feels like he permanently got a flag at the minute. But could you really go there on a free hit? Because do we know what's happening with him? What might Chelsea do ahead of the Champions League the week after? Do we see some rotation around the squad with players like Reece James? So it's quite difficult, I think, to free hit this week and feel comfy, or any more comfy than I do with my team right now. The other thing I'm considering is that if you have players in your team that are flagged who end up then getting red flagged and might be out for a little while, if you're free hitting, you can't obviously make that transfer and sub them out yet. So what we might see is players like Gabriel, who have gone up a lot in price and are heavily owned, dropping quite substantially in price as people move them on. And I'd like to keep the team value that I've gained in him and move that across the rest of my team. So waiting an extra week to transfer him out potentially. Yes, it gives you an extra week of information. It allows us to find out what exactly is going on with him and how long, if at all, he's going to be out for. But there is a risk factor involved in that in terms of the budget. So I thought about it. So when I first opened my app, I was like, maybe I'll just free hit because this just feels really, really difficult.
Yeah, that's the advantage of having the two free hits this season. You can make this sort of call a little bit more knee-jerk to react to whatever the situation is when you open the app, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you can look at it and go, this feels like the right week to do it. And for some managers, this will be the, like Jules is saying, this might be the right week for him to free hit. For me, I look at my team and think I'm prepared to take that risk because I'd quite like Semenyo for West Ham because ahead of the international break, he was incredibly unlucky not to return. He could easily have had a goal and an assist and all of that if he'd just converted the penalty. So
got engaged since as well, he's fit enough to get on one knee. So I'm sure he'll be all right.
I looked at that photo and thought, well, you look all right down on one knee and you picked her up okay afterwards, so maybe you're fine. But yeah, it's funny, isn't it? The things we look at as FPR managers, because that's exactly what I thought when I watched his engagement pictures.
I was the same.
I know, it's madness.
But not congratulations or anything like that. I've been happy for him. Just like, it looks fit. It looks all right.
Fit. Yeah. Set up that room, okay. So yeah, I think it's one of those where when you look at your team, you'll probably know whether it's the right thing for your team, and then you have to just make that judgment between whether you think it's worth the risk of not having a player in. I mean, I look at mine and think, well, hopefully some of my players will be back available, and we'll talk about some of them, I'm sure, in a minute. But
yeah,
and then if they are, I'll get through it. And the chances of all four of the flag players not being available are quite small. So I'm probably going to be okay when it comes to just being able to move those players out to the bench if need be. But it is still that risk reward. And even then, if I don't play the free hit this week, I'm still in that conundrum about when I do play the free hit. So maybe Jules is right to just go, well, I've got issues in my team, I just want to play it now.
Yeah, fair enough. Jules, I'll ask you a little bit more about how your free hit team is shaping up later on in the podcast. But let's talk about some of these key players who are flagged. I mean, I know you said a moment ago about managers not always giving out lots of information in these press conferences, but it is worth keeping an eye on the managers' presses, which will take place on Thursday and Friday. We may have some information as to players who may be available, probably more so players who are definitely out, you know, longer term injuries like we've mentioned with Gabriel. Potentially, you'll have a little bit more information on that. And we should start there, really, because the Arsenal defence looks like one of the key FPL assets that is impacted by these flags, Gabriel and also Calafiore as well. So what would you do, Jules, if you weren't playing your free hit and you own these two or you own one of them, looking at the situation, where would you go?
The big one is Gabriel. And like Sam said, the value that you have in him, really, in your team, because I think Calafiore could be okay, and there was more precautions than anything else. He didn't feature at all with Italy. It's not like Gabriel, who played that first game against Senegal with Brazil and then clearly got injured during that game and came off.
Like a groin injury, didn't it?
Yeah, it looked like something muscular, whether it's the groin or the quads or something like that. So it's not good news because it's very unlikely to be less than 4 weeks, maybe three if you're lucky. And if he recovers quickly, even 3 weeks, it's a long time in FPL for him to sit on your bench with his value. And as we've been saying since the start of the season, the defense is where you've got the most points right now. They return, a lot of those defenders return. DEFCON has changed the dynamic as well. So the thing is, it's probably to let him go now and replace him and make sure that you've got enough money in the bank to bring him back when he comes back. If you want to, you can go from him to Timber or to a Saliba, another Arsenal defender, if you want to keep in that kind of Arsenal mind pick, if you want. Otherwise, there's plenty of others, really good centre-back or defender that you can go for. But I think the absence looks too long, I think, to really can justify to keep him on your bench for that long.
Yeah, his replacement in the Arsenal side looks like it will be Christian Mosquera. He's the one who has played in Gabriel's absence in the League Cup. He's also been in place of William Saliba when he's been injured for the Premier League matches. I mean, they didn't get a clean sheet in the end at Liverpool, but they came pretty close. And in his other start, which was game week 4 against Nottingham Forest, there was a clean sheet. Mosquera also got a bonus point as well. But he is 5.4 million. And Sam, for a player who we're not sure how long he'll be in the side for, that feels maybe a bit too pricey for us.
Yeah, I think I tend to agree. And also, I had a look back at the data for when Gabriel has been missing from Arsenal for blocks of time in the past. So if we look back to last season, he missed 8 matches for Arsenal, which Arsenal won 3, drew 4 and lost 1. And that was a game at home to Bournemouth. They also conceded 9 goals in that time. That was more than 6 other clubs, which is unusual for them because normally they're sort of at the top of the low XGC. They also only kept 2 clean sheets in that time, with 7 teams achieving more shutouts than them in that period of time. They conceded 71 attempts, 50 shots in the box and 22 shots on target, which was still above, still one of the best statistics in the league. So it's not like Gabriel not being there makes Arsenal a terrible defence. That's not what I'm saying. But when you compare that to what they were doing when he was on the pitch, it's entirely different. So we're starting to see a big spike in big chances, for example, when Gabriel is out. So they conceded 18 in the period of time that Gabriel was out for before. So I think it's that impact that you have to be considerate of. So yes, you can absolutely go. As somebody that already owns the double Arsenal defence, I'm looking at it thinking, well, I'll probably just drop down to just having Timber for now, because that feels like a sensible thing to do, because the numbers suggest that maybe Arsenal won't be as good defensively. And obviously Gabriel's the one with the most attacking threat as well, as we've seen over the last few weeks. But if you don't have any other Arsenal defenders, then I think you could look at moving across to one of the others. Otherwise, I'll be looking probably to move to somebody like Virgil van Dijk instead to cover out those nice Liverpool fixtures. Now, that wasn't something I was planning to do at all by any stretch of the imagination. Virgil was not high on my bingo card list of players that I thought I'd be bringing in this week. However, the fixtures are good. The DEFCON numbers are good. His underlying points for the season, actually, for somebody that hasn't really been keeping clean sheets, isn't too bad either. So hopefully with the Liverpool fixtures coming up, that's okay. And as Jules said, I do want to route back to Gabriel again. So keeping some money in a premium defender makes quite a bit of sense.
So you mentioned the Brighton game, Ian, in the League Cup for Arsenal. Inkapie actually played for Gabriel in that left side as centre-back, as a left footer as well, like Gabriel. Mosquera played on the right-hand side where Saliba usually plays.
He played with Saliba. That's what I had in my notes. Yeah,
Paul Vale. But the Brighton game, which is, I think is the most relevant, really, in terms of who could come in for Gabriel on Sunday in the game against Spurs. I wonder if it would be Mosquera, really, simply because I think Arteta loves a left-footer in that left-side centre-back, and he's got 2 in Inkapie and Calafiori who could play there. If it's Calafiori, then Lewis Kelly will come at left-back. If it's Inkapie, Calafiori, if he's fit, obviously, can stay at left-back like he's been playing all through the start of the season. So Inkapie is the same price as Mosquera. So that doesn't change the dynamic, as you mentioned, of maybe 5.4 is a bit expensive for players who are not as proven in the Premier League than Van Dijk or, I don't know, Senesi or other options that you might have if you sell Gabriel. But yeah, I think it would be either Calafiori or Inkapie who played instead of Gabriel with Saliba.
Yeah, fair enough. So that means it's even more uncertainty, anyway. I guess, then about who you go with. I mean, the next two fixtures as well, Tottenham at home, Chelsea away. Arsenal defence is very good, but they don't scream clean sheets. After that, it gets a little bit better. So maybe there's a couple of game weeks to work out exactly what Arteta is going to do, how Gabriel is going to be, you know, how long he's going to be facing up to a spell on the sidelines as well, and then move forward. If only it was just Gabriel that was an issue, Sam. Do I dare ask you about Mark Gay, or should I just point at Jules'
way?
I mean,
you jinxed him, to be fair.
I do feel like maybe I was slightly responsible for him. It's ridiculous, isn't it? So we learned from Glasner ahead of the break that he can't walk because of this foot injury, specifically, I think, a bruise on his bone that he picked up in Europe. We haven't had any official updates from him. There does seem to be some suggestion from places like Sky Sports, who we do normally kind of trust with this information, that actually he's back in training and he probably is going to be available to be selected against Wolves. Now, whether he actually starts against Wolves is another matter entirely. Whether Glasner decides to risk it, we'll have to see. But that did make me feel slightly better when I heard that he was back wearing football boots again, because, you know, that's
an important
progress.
Step.
That's progress. We've got a bit further than we had last week when I brought him in.
Did he tie his laces fully? I mean, that's the next question, isn't it? The boots are on. Are the laces fully tied? Or
I don't know. Can he
was
run?
He on the grass? Was he
is
part
the
of the group?
Still there? We've got all of that to consider. But I do think, you know, I'm hopeful that he doesn't feel like it's as long term anyway. So I'm not going to transfer him out. I just told him. But at the beginning of the week, with Gabriel injured and him before we'd had that sort of site news that we think he's back in training, I was then thinking, well, I'm going to have to make some defensive changes here because I do not really want to be scrambling around trying to find a defender. And if they're both out for a while, then maybe it makes sense to just move them both on at this stage. Whereas with Gahey, I don't think it's going to be as long term. And therefore, I think I'll start him. And worst case scenario, he doesn't play and then he'll move out to the bench. Because surely if he doesn't start, then he just doesn't come on at all. And then isn't risked. But, you know, it's just been, he is so frustrating, that one, because it should have been, well, Jules knows as well the pain of it because you've got him, but at least you didn't just bring him in for this. But
no.
I'm just going to hold for now.
The fixtures look good as well, don't they, for Palace? So you kind of want a slice of this. I mean, Daniel Munoz is the one defender who is a bit more of a traditional FPL defensive pick. Defcons have sort of changed the way that we've looked at these picks this season. He seems to be a little bit more immune to that than others. So he's not scored quite as many points as Gay, but I think he's definitely, he's a more exciting option, Jules, isn't he? Because I don't want to say it, because I think Defcons have been a really good introduction to the game, and I think it's shaken up FPL in a great way, and something that, you know, we've all had to adapt to and people have enjoyed doing. But I do like an attacking defender. I do like a bit of goal threat to go with the Defcons as well.
Yeah, I agree with you, mate. And he's as a wing back as well, and this super attacking one. I think he's been a bit unlucky not to get more points, to be fair, for us in the game so far. You mentioned the Palace fixtures. It's Wolves away, as we said, this weekend, and United at home. That's a banker. It's a win, as you know, Ian, obviously. I'm kidding. Burnley, Fulham, and then City, but then Leeds, Spurs, and Fulham again. So you're right, there's some really good stuff there from Palace. We've been managing Europe every Thursday, well, every other week on Thursday, and then the Sunday games, it'll be the case again. They will play this weekend, then Thursday, then Sunday again. So I don't think it's always been easy for them, as we saw in the last game against Brighton, for example, and that 0-0 draw. So after the international break, and a lot of their players have been involved in international break as well, it might be just a tricky fixture. But I think if you can get Munoz in replacement of Gahey, if Gahey is out, or even on top of Gahey, I think Munoz is a great pick.
Who are the other defenders on your agenda, Sam?
Well, ones I want to do some more. Oh, dear. I think for me, a Liverpool defender, and there's been a lot of kind of chatter around that, because actually picking one of the, as you quite rightly called them, I think traditional FPL defenders, the wing
backs. That was the most polite way I could put it, I think, yeah.
Yeah, the ones that we would normally have looked at and gone, attacking fullback, right, let's go there. So at Liverpool, that's really difficult to do because, you know, do you go Robertson or Kirkus? Do you go Frimpong? Do you go Bradley? There's so many potential options that could play in those positions. There's a lot of rotation that we might see around those slots, particularly around the Champions League. And then obviously We haven't necessarily seen the best of Liverpool defensively either. Or do you just play it safe and go with Virgil, who's got the DEFCON threat and obviously some threat from set pieces? And we nearly saw that last weekend, were it not for the goal being ruled out, or the last game week rather. Or do you go cheaper and get a Konate and use the money elsewhere? Like, that is definitely an option. Chelsea feel like a really great pick for this week defensively. But then after that, I don't know how I feel about the fixtures, because it's Arsenal up the week after, and I certainly wouldn't necessarily see a clean sheet in there then. And again, you know, maybe you wouldn't go for somebody like a Reece James, and there feels like there's going to be some rotation there around the Champions League and things like that as well. So it's tough. It's tough to know where to go, because actually when you look at the fixtures, I mean, I've spent a lot of time, Ian, you might laugh now, but I spent a lot of time this week looking at Manchester United defenders, because the fixtures are really, really nice. And over the course of the season, I didn't think I was ever going to be looking at a Manchester United defender, to be honest, but there are a number of them that you could potentially go with. You watch them every week. Is that actually mad?
Maybe a little bit. the reason being, I feel like if games finished at half time, United defensive picks would be good.
You're terrible in the second half.
They've got the worst record. No team has conceded more goals in the second half of Premier League matches so far this season. So it's definitely, despite their improvement in recent weeks, it's definitely the one aspect that doesn't feel like it's quite gone as well. And that's actually, the defensive data last season was pretty good. So I started the season, I think, with Patrick Dorgu in my team, because I felt like he was going to be a good pick because he offered a bit of attacking threat. And also United's defensive data, like I say, despite the issues they had last year, was okay. He didn't last very long in my team at all. He got dropped, and obviously the team's form wasn't great at the start either. So I just don't know. Matthijs de Ligt would be the one.
He's the one.
I agree. Yeah. He's the one on my list.
He's the most nailed of the group. And obviously, no matter what combination of back three Amorim's gone for, he's always found a place for de Ligt. I think he's the only outfield player, or he's the only player full stop actually, who's played every minute of the season so far. So he'd be the one. But then you're sort of looking at the revolving cast of wing-backs, Dalot, Dorgu, Mazraoui now, who started against Spurs. He's had issues with injury, but you know, I think if fit, he would play most weeks. I can't guarantee that. Then there's Luke Shaw as well, who's been great, but Lisandro Martinez is back in training. So there's question marks there, Jules. I mean, De Ligt or no one, isn't it?
Yeah, De Ligt was the one on my list of potential defenders for the free hit, really, because I think the fixtures are good, as we said. He scored the other day, but it's not just the threat on set pieces. It's just, I think he's been very solid defensively for that team, where, you, as you said, it's always a bit hit and miss with them this season, even if there's some improvement for sure in the way they play and even in their stats. The difference between first half and second half, just purely defensively, might convince you not to invest in one of the defenders. But if you had to go there, I think De Ligt would be the very interesting one. Starting for, you know, this weekend, I think, the game at home to Everton on Monday night, an Everton team that has, you know, Barry and Beto as a number nine, should not scare you really if you're a United fan or if you own a United defender in your FPL team.
Nico O'Reilly as well, Jules. I mean, he's the one to bring in and not bench, because City's fixtures look good after the Newcastle game, don't they? And he's been great.
And not bench 2 weeks in a row,
exactly.
You know, because that cost me 20 points easily.
I've been looking, don't worry.
I know, my friend. I know you have. And he's done so well for England too, which I think is going to boost him massively. The only thing is, I think depending on the opposition, and Newcastle might be part of that, I think there's a possibility that Pep plays a more traditional defender in that left-back position, like Gvardiol, for example, and move another centre-back in next to Ruben Diaz, and O'Reilly goes onto the bench, simply because sometimes he's done it this season, depending on the opposition, if he wants O'Reilly type of left back, or I know he was also back.
O'Reilly started seven of the last eight Premier League games, though. I mean, he started more for Pep than he has for you.
Yeah, no, definitely, man. Which is, to be fair, which I should have known. I should have trusted him. It's not so much that I didn't trust him, is I just didn't think he would return like he did. I thought they would concede, or certainly attacking wise. He's been fab. So he's definitely somebody I think to look into if you don't already owe him, like me.
He looks like a great pick over AFCON as well, when Aitnori is gone again.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about the midfield then. Antoine Semenyo, Sam, we've mentioned already. He's got an ankle injury, I think. We're not quite sure exactly his status yet. Again, you know, let's have a look at Andoni Ilarola's press conference to find out his status. He's very well owned, though. He's got a good fixture. What do you do with him?
I should have sold him weeks ago. We said...
Really? You know,
yeah. So we said a few weeks ago when Evan Nilsson got injured that the way that Krupa Jr. plays doesn't necessarily suit Semenyo from an FPL perspective, because Krupa Jr. is a bit more of a selfish striker, which is great if you own Krupa Jr. in FPL, because likely to get points. And we saw that over the last few weeks. But Evan Nilsson is much more of a bring other players into the match, share the ball. You know, he's a bit more of an unselfish striker. And that actually suits Semenyo really nicely. And it's part of the reason I think Semenyo was so fantastic for us in FPL in the early weeks of the season. Plus, he had penalties because Kluivert was injured. And there was a bit of uncertainty when Kluivert came back as to who was going to take them. Then we see him, you know, over the last few weeks when Krupa's been playing, the numbers, the underlying data has suggested for the last few weeks that you sell. Like, and I've been kind of looking at him every week going, oh, maybe I should move him on, maybe I should move him on. But as I was thinking about this, Evan Nilsson's got closer and closer to coming back. And then we see him return and as Semenyo looks better. And like I said earlier, Semenyo was so unlucky not to return a massive double-digit haul last time out. If he scores the penalty and there's another opportunity where he's the assister, if it goes in, he then gets a goal, an assist, and then probably all three bonus points. And then we're not even talking about him. We're just going, well, let's risk it, because, you know, we don't really even know what's up with him. Like, some news outlets were reporting it was a minor knee injury. Some are reporting he came back for personal reasons. Then we see the proposal. So it's all very vague with Semenyo at the minute. And until we get something out of Bournemouth, I don't think we can really make a judgment. But it is West Ham, who have been not great. I think that I'll be polite. No, they've been not great so far this season. And so for me, I think you have to kind of give him 1 week. And I think even if I was free hitting, I would still have Semenyo, because the way that you're going to free hit your team is going to mean that you've got a really good starting 11. You can play Semenyo, and if he doesn't start, have somebody come off the bench. Because I just think that that fixture and the way that he potentially plays in that Bournemouth team with Evan Nilsson back feels like too good an opportunity to miss out on.
Jules?
Yeah, I agree. I think we just need to wait and hope for Iraola to say, yes, he's fit, he's back at training, he's all good, he's going to start the game, which he might not say, but he might also be kind to all FPL manager and just reassure us all by saying, yeah, don't worry, keep him in your team, it's cool. Because if Semenyo starts, I think it would be... this could be a very good game for him. And then after that, we talked about the Bournemouth fixture. Then they'll have Sunderland and Everton as well before playing Chelsea and United. So those next two games is, I think, the right time for Bournemouth to forget about the Aston Villa spanking and then to start again.
Yeah, you mentioned Manchester United before, Sam, when we were talking about defenders. I wonder if midfield's the place to go with them. I mean, if you don't own Brian Mbeumo, he looks like an obvious pick at the moment. He's been brilliant so far this season, made a magnificent impact at Old Trafford. There is AFCON coming. Obviously, for Semenyo, that's not a consideration because Ghana didn't qualify. You've then got Ahmad as well, who seems to be emerging as a slightly cheaper option in United's midfield. And he was played in the front three against Spurs as well, which was an interesting development because he's played at wing-back before that and a little bit further forward, a little bit more goal threat. Got his first goal of the season at Forest, then the assist at Spurs, 6.3 million, again, going away to AFCON. But there's still a good set of fixtures here for United before they go away. And obviously the obvious pick of Bruno Fernandes at 8.9 million if you want to take advantage of the full run, because I think it's 10 game weeks until Manchester United play any of the traditional top six. They've got some great fixtures. Even Casemiro, 5.5 million, scored three in his last five.
Scored for
club
Brazil
and country.
As well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, that seems like an area. And it's not just Semenyo that we've got these question marks over, like we've talked about, Sam. There's Enzo, there's Neto for Chelsea as well. They've got a good fixture away at Burnley. So, again, you want a slice of that fixture, but you just don't know quite what to do with these assets still.
No, I think Manchester United, I don't have any Manchester United assets, and that's another route to pain, as I like to call them. Like, that can only cause me suffering, because Manchester United players, particularly the midfielders, are proving popular. Bruno has always been popular. It's taken Mbeumo a little bit longer to get there. And I think with him, if you're going to do it, you have to go now, because like you say, AFCON is coming. So the closer you leave it to AFCON, the less time you give him to really perform in your team. So I think it kind of feels like you go now or you don't go with him, and you pick one of the others. When I first looked at my team and Semenya was flagged, I thought, well, if he's out, that's what I'll do. I'll just take some money out of Gabriel and I'll use that money to upgrade him and get one of the United mids. Obviously now with, I'll wait till we hear some news, but I kind of think I'm likely to stick. I've still got Kudus, who's also flagged, but actually seems that maybe also to be okay. But I don't feel like I necessarily have to keep him, especially going away to Arsenal at the weekend. But that would make one of the Arsenal, one of the Manchester United cheaper options, the Casemiros, the Ahmad, an interesting point of conversation, because again, there's some budget that you can take out of that position then. I think Manchester United feel like a definite, and if you've got a midfielder issue, that is exactly where I'd look. I'd look at the Manchester United midfield, because the fixtures are really nice. From a Chelsea perspective, it's really difficult to know what to do, because I mean, I've got Caicedo. I kind of feel like, well, all right, he should be okay. Like, he should be fine. He's fit. He's not flagged. That's fine. Hopefully he starts, and maybe we see some rotation ahead of a big Champions League game for them in midweek, but we'll have to find out. Neto withdrew from the Portugal squad, but is back in training. So hopefully he'll be okay for Jules and the rest of the Neto owners. But if you've got Enzo Fernandez, then he's really tough, isn't it? Because I think a lot of managers are already on the edge with him, because he's not exactly been living up to the hype. The underlying numbers have been there, but the returns haven't. I think you probably have to keep him for Burnley and just hope that he gets the start. After that, maybe you move them on. But Chelsea, do you feel like a team that what you have, you hold for this week, and then you worry about it after the Burnley game?
You do wonder if, because it's Barcelona next week in the Champions League at Stamford Bridge, you wonder if he's going to prioritise that game. And then, so Neto, don't risk him on at the weekend, just keep him for Barcelona. Enzo, the same. Reece James, maybe the same. Gusto can well play that right back, for example. You could do the same in another position. João Pedro, don't go there. And Liam Delap can play against Burnley every day. It should not be a problem for Chelsea to win that game, even without some of their star players. And then everybody's back for the Barcelona game, which also think that Estevao, who's been, we mentioned it in the international break kind of roundup, has been incredible for Brazil. Surely he deserves it. And that Burnley game would be perfect for him. Play him there. If you don't want to play him against Barcelona, it's a massive game. It's all of this. So even if you're Neto and you're not sure, if you're thinking about getting a Chelsea player, Estevao might be a good option for this week.
Brings us back to your free hit then, Jules, doesn't it? We've not talked about forwards yet, but maybe we can encompass that in this conversation. So what are you looking at? What are you going
to
do?
Yeah, I think Mateta, Haaland, whether he's free hit or not free hit, have to be in your team. And then I fancy Igor Thiago for this game. He's been in great form. He's the second top goal scorer in the league behind Haaland. I think it's a decent fixture for Brentford too. I would look at Mo Salah for a Liverpool asset to have. I know it's not forward anymore, but in that midfield area with Mbeumo, maybe even Doku, because I think it's a tough game for City away at Newcastle, but Doku has been on great form for that Liverpool game, to the two games with Belgium. And then again, Estevao potentially. I know it's a bit risky because, as we've explained, we're not really sure exactly who's going to start. But I think Estevao, who, by the way, didn't go that fine in international break because Brazil played at the Emirates in London and then in Lille, the second game. So next door, basically. So Estevao won't have the jet lag or the long hours flying back or anything like that. So I think Estevao could be a great differential if you're brave enough to bring him in.
If Hugo Ekitike was Paris-born and bred and not sort of 90 minutes away from Paris, would he be in your free hit side?
That's a very good point to make. He would probably be very close to it. I love him though. And he scored with France playing off the left-hand side with, I think, a few people, even within Liverpool Football Club have been noticing, you know. So let's see where he plays at the weekend. But yeah, Ekitike is also an option. Although I think Igor Thiago, he deserves a chance, only my free hit team.
Jules, will you keep an Arsenal defender?
I'll have Timber and that's it, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I just wonder because that's an interesting one, isn't it? Because on a free hit, you probably would go, it's the derby, anything might happen. I mean, I think Arsenal probably beat us, sadly, but probably maybe there's not a clean sheet. But then the non-free hitters, everybody's got an Arsenal that's defender. Why. So yeah, if it definitely does stick, you kind
you've
of feel like...
You've got to pick your battles, haven't you?
Yeah.
Exactly,
that's the key
yeah
thing about it.
You've got to cover it, really.
Yeah.
That's also the point that fills me with dread because you're then going up against some very, very popular scenarios, whether it be owning an Arsenal player, whether it be sort of a Semenyo or an Enzo, who's obviously gained ownership throughout this this period, and they're flagged and there's uncertainty. So in some ways, it's a great week because you can think, right, well, maybe they are areas to target, tough-ish fixture for Arsenal, uncertainty over some of these players. But again, that also, from the flip side, makes me think, well, that could really hurt you. So I think it's a great week to do it, though, Jules. I mean, the more you've spoken about it, the more I think a lot of people will be getting on board with this. Are you actually going to do it?
Yeah, I think so.
You also, can guarantee us now?
He's different now, Ian. He does
do it live?
I always do what I say.
Have you clicked the button yet?
Not yet, because I've had other things to do so far this week, you know, okay, sort of preparing for this show. But no, I would
definitely
do it
live on the show now. That would be great.
I could do it live on the show now.
Yeah, but then what happens if the managers all tomorrow in their presses go,
He's going to play his free hit.
No,
and he's doing great this season. Everything's gone well, so I don't see why he shouldn't just go and press the button.
No, you're right.
Now,
you're right. I love it when you tempt me like this. You're a tempter.
Not the first time I've been told that. Right, let's move it on swiftly again. Thank you, Jules. Let's talk about differentials because, my goodness me, you two had a fantastic Woo! Week picking differentials.
Yay!
Congratulations to both of you. So, Jules, I'll come back to you straight away. Pedro Neto, 9 points, goal, clean sheet, bonus point, great pick. Happy with that?
Very happy with that, yeah. And I brought him in, like I said I would, to be fair, in the team. To be fair, for Saka, who in the end got more points than him on that game week, but it's okay, let's forget about that.
Sam Morgan gives White even better. 10 points, goal, all 3 bonus points. Nice work.
I was very happy. And actually, it was unlucky not to get another goal at the end of it. I did feel like my FPL week was going absolutely awfully, but at least, Ian, my differential was finally doing something. So yeah, it was a good week for both of us, but I was happy to pip Jules by 1 point.
Absolutely. Where are you two up to in the head-to-head? Have you been keeping score of this throughout
the
season?
You know, of course
don't
we
ask.
Have.
Just don't right. ask. Oh,
I'm
don't
first,
ask.
Though. I'm first.
Yeah. Jules
right,
is
okay, well, we'll see how this week goes then. Maybe that's the way to phrase it instead. Sam, you won last week, so I believe that now means you get the first pick. So who are you going for?
We're going to make you happy with this one, Ian. This is especially for you because you were joining us today, and it's Casemiro.
Nice.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. 5.5 million. He's only owned by 1.1% of the game. In the last 5 matches, he's got 2 goals and assist, 8 defensive contribution points, 5 bonus points, 2 double-digit hauls and 3 clean sheets. He's also averaged 7.2 points per match in those 5 matches. And when you sort the regular starters, so by that I mean the ones that have started like 4 or 5 fixtures across those 5 game weeks, only 5 players in the whole game can beat his points per match average right now. So he's playing really well. He's facing an Everton side who have only won 1 of their 5 away matches so far this season, and that was against Wolves, who everyone was beating at that point. Now, that might change with the new manager, but at that stage, Wolves were the team to target. And in that time, Everton have conceded 8 goals. They're yet to keep a clean sheet on the road as well. So I think this might be the perfect match. And actually, he is a player that I'm potentially thinking about bringing into my FPL team this week, depending upon what happens with the rest of my flags and my issues, because I think if Semenya is ruled fit or looks likely that he might be part of it, I'm going to struggle to get one of the more expensive United mids. So Casemiro might be the way that I look.
They don't concede when he's on the pitch either. I think they've only conceded 5 of the goals so far this season when he's been on the field. So you're guaranteed a cheeky 1-pointer for the clean sheet bonus in that sense. Jules, who's your target this week?
So I went for Matty Cash at Aston Villa, £4.6 million.
Okay.
Owned by 5.8%, so less than 6. Great. He's been on good form, 15 points against City, 6 against Bournemouth in the last game before the international break. They've got Leeds and Wolves in the next 2 games. They've been playing better. They're climbing up the table. He's a very attacking fullback. Goals come from everywhere in the team because their number 9 is obviously not scoring. So I think this could be a very good time to bring in Matty Cash.
Is he on your free hit as well?
Yes, he is on my free hit list with Munoz and Cucurella, Senesi, and potentially a Bradley, keeper Timber. But it would be a back four, so I'll see who I pick.
Yeah, that was beginning to sound like a back five then, but okay, back four. That sounds good.
No, it's just a few names I've got there. I mean, like, all of them would make that
it's
team.
It's not decided.
Yeah, it's getting a bit woolly, this, isn't it, to be honest? Anyway, Sam, what about your week then? I mean, transfer-wise, obviously we've talked through the different scenarios and all the problems that we've all got. What are you going to do, do you think? You're just going to wait to see what's said and then make a decision, or where are you at with it?
Yeah, and annoyingly, and I've only got one free transfer this week, so I can definitely feel a minus four coming on, which is something that I wanted to do, really. Unless, you know, the gods shine in my favour and decide to make sure that everybody is okay, and then we'll be all right. But I think I'm probably going to go Gabriel to Virgil this week. I think that kind of makes sense in my head.
I'm in the same boat, you know.
Yeah. I think that's where I'm going to go, because the Liverpool fixtures are nicer for longer. It's either that or come down to De Ligt. That, like, it's probably one of those two, but I think I prefer the Liverpool fixtures and obviously the defensive contribution points and stuff that comes out of owning somebody like Virgil. So I think that's what I'm going to do. That'll be my first and only free transfer used. And then it's a decision then as to whether I take a hit if Semenya gets ruled out. By doing that Gabriel move, I would have the money to go for Mbeumo. So there is the potential that I then go Semenya up to him. I just have to kind of make that call as to what the managers say. But Gabriel to Virgil feels like the move that I'll make as a priority this week.
Okay. Captains, Jules, what are you thinking? Erling Haaland?
Yeah, I think even away at Newcastle, I think it's hard not to.
Your brave free hit, you know, yeah, taking risks.
The brave new world.
Going against the popular move.
It's just the most informed player in the league, so why would you not captain him?
Yeah.
Sam?
Yeah, I've got bitten by the captain in anyone other than Haaland thing already so far this season. So I think I'll stick with the big man. I think, you know, there are other options. I do kind of like the Chelsea captain. If I had João Pedro, maybe I'd think about that. I quite like the Jean-Philippe Mateta captaincy conversation that's been going around. But I think in the end, if I had Salah, would I go there? Maybe.
I don't mind Brian Mbeumo, you know.
I don't either. Yeah. I think that's a decent option as well. But yeah. I think in the end, given that Newcastle defensively have had a real wobble lately as well, I can't see anything other than a Haaland goal at some stage in that game.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, Mbeumo, 3 goals, 1 assist in his last 4 home games. You talked about how Everton have struggled defensively on the road. I just love the idea of waiting for Monday night for a captain haul as well. But you've got to wait out the weekend, which is not easy either.
Yeah, but there's always the hope, Ian. And although it is the hope that kills you sometimes by Monday night. Yeah.
Undoubtedly. So it'd probably be Erling Haaland captain for me as well. But yeah, it's been great. Thank you for having me back. That brings us to the end of the podcast.
We miss you.
Hope you bring me some luck. I mean, do you remember when I stepped in for Kelly a couple of seasons ago? I think I was in my 4.5 million era back then. And Trent Alexander-Arnold and a few other merry men led me up towards the top million, I think, by the time that my stint was done. So hopefully you bring me some luck this time again as well.
Sure, man.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah. Fingers crossed. Anyway, it's been lovely to be here. A reminder, Saturday morning is the deadline this week. It's at 11 a.m. UK time, which is 90 minutes before the first kickoff between Burnley and Chelsea at Turf Moor. The Fantasy Show is back on Friday. I'm in the studio for Kelly there as well. And Off the Bench is back on Tuesday as Oscar and Harry take us through all the key talking points from game week 12. But thanks for being with us. Good luck. And we'll see you on the next one. Take care. Bye-bye.